turn in Holy Scripture this morning to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, known as one of the penitential psalms of David. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. I call your attention this morning to Psalm 51, verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. How precious are the Psalms to us, beloved. They speak our own experience, don't they? They speak as an autobiography. Even though many of them were written by one who was perhaps the greatest earthly king that ever lived. And although we probably would not normally think of Psalm 51 as a psalm to which we would go for a text on Thanksgiving Day, David calls our attention in verse 15 to the necessary readiness. If we are truly to give thanks to God in this day, whoever would have thought that David, the man so highly favored by God, the man after God's own heart, the man who could say in the time of his distress, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Whoever would have thought that this man could fall in such a way and be led captive by Satan. From gazing upon the beautiful woman who belonged to another man, David proceeded to adultery, and from adultery to murder. And from there he sank into such bondage to sin There was no way possible for him to be thankful to God, though God had given him every earthly blessing. David had all that he could want from an earthly point of view, but he had not a thankful heart. An inescapable message from Jehovah was necessary to convict him of his sin and to begin the process by which David might once again find that thankfulness that only belongs to those who fear Jehovah and who walk in his ways. It was after the prophet Nathan appeared before David with God's judgment that David wrote this psalm, and he wrote with the bitter experience of his own heart that it is an evil and a bitter thing to forsake Jehovah and his precepts, to lose the consciousness of his love. And though David was delivered from the fear of death and hell, yet he wrote this psalm with tears and in the bitter sorrow of his own soul. He didn't consider the Lord his enemy, though his own sin was a vicious attack upon God and his holiness. But in sorrow, David wrote this as a prayer to his friend, his heavenly Father, whom he had greatly offended. And from his experience, David saw that if we are ever to praise God and to give him thanks, it will be by his mighty work of grace in us. As we just sang in the versification of Psalter number 144, O Lord, open thou my lips, long closed with sin and shame. My mouth shall show before the world the glory of thy name. I call your attention to this text this morning. Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. I do so under the theme, a prayer for thankful lips. We notice together, first of all, a high calling. Secondly, the necessary grace. And finally, a humble prayer. David has seen the high calling that belongs to us all, and that is to live in thankfulness to God. Praise here means the praiseworthiness of God. That is, it doesn't refer to the praise that is caused when we lift up our voices. Rather, open thou my lips, that my mouth may show forth thy praise, that is, that my mouth may testify of thy praiseworthiness, of thy goodness. We are called to tell of that praise that is in God himself. And in years past, that had been David's life. He sang in Psalm 9, I will praise thee, O Lord. And there he's speaking of his own activity of praising God. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. That's another way of saying, I will show forth thy praise. And so he continues, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. And then David prays for mercy, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. There you have that Hebrew parallelism again that I've called your attention to in the past a number of different times, and which interprets that praise. On the one hand, you have this, that I may show forth all thy praise, while that's interpreted by the next clause, I will rejoice in thy salvation. So that it's particularly in God's wonder work of salvation that we see his praise. God is good. There's praiseworthiness in God. And that praise in God is one, but it has a multitude of facets. There's one goodness of God, and that goodness is as a large and beautiful diamond cut with many facets, so that his one goodness is distinguished into manifold goodnesses. His one praise is revealed in many praises or many dimensions which show forth his praiseworthiness. And it has pleased him to reveal that to us. He's holy and just and righteous and merciful and almighty and wise and so on and so forth. He's God. And then not only has he told us these things, then it would remain abstract to us. But he's revealed it in the works of his hands. In all that is manifest of God, he shows us that he's worthy of all praise. He makes clear that he is God, and he is good, always good. Look around you in creation. Do you realize that you are seeing the praises of our God? That's what Scripture tells us. In creation, God reveals himself as the one who calls the things that are not as if they were. And with hearts touched by God's grace, we look upon this creation and we sing in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So magnificent are the works of God's hands in creation. So praiseworthy does our God reveal himself in all creation that we are struck with the same thoughts as David in Psalm 8. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Creation, as God made it and sustains it and governs it, sounds forth nothing but God's praise. But the same is true in God's government of all things. We confess with our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 10 that all things come to us by God's fatherly hand. It's a beautiful truth. We often have difficulty grasping that ourselves, for ourselves. But all things come by God's fatherly hand and therefore reveal his goodness to us. We have to confess that if we are truly to give thanks today. All is from God's hands. He watereth the hills from his chambers, we read in Psalm 104, verse 13. The earth is satisfied with the fruits of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. He cares for the sparrows. How much more for you and for me, who are members of his church, the bride of Christ. But then we mustn't stop there. In order fully to praise God and to show forth God's praise, and that is the giving of thanks to him, we must exclude nothing from his hand. There's nothing that we may exclude from his praise, and this is where the truth becomes difficult for us. God moves and exercises his sovereign power in those things that seem to be against us, those things that cause us trouble. God moves the nations and the plots of the rulers over against each other. So all the immoral games playing that takes place in Washington, that's all in God's hands. And God must be praised. Then there are those things that touch your lives and mine personally. Might be that stomach virus makes life miserable for but a brief time. Might be the tumor. It changes lives. Might be the results of the blood test that causes the doctor to say, I have to tell you, you're at a very high risk for sudden death of a heart attack or stroke. Those trials, those afflictions, for some daily afflictions, the diabetes, the arthritic pain, all those things are from God, our Heavenly Father. And if we are to give thanks in this day, we mayn't exclude any of those things from his praise. Because in those things, he's at work for us. Also teaching us to pray one for another concerning those things. But those various trials in your life and mine are all the work of God, and his government is goodness. That has to be our viewpoint. In him there is praise. That's always there. In everything he does, whether we see it or not, that's not the issue. It's always there. It's our calling to see it and to show forth his praise with our mouths. You and I are called to show forth God's praise. That implies, in the first place, that we see him as praiseworthy. That we see that he's good in all things and in all his dealings with us. That we acknowledge that within our own souls. But if we are to see that God is indeed good and worthy of praise in all things, we have to see him in a light that goes beyond that creative work, and that goes beyond his providential government of all things. To say that God is almighty is not enough. How many presidential declarations haven't there been in years past for Thanksgiving Day which referred to the almighty? The world can see that God is almighty. That doesn't help us in our calling to show forth God's praise. To show forth God's praise, beloved, means that we see Christ. Because only in Christ do we see that God is good to us. You see him? Is he your Christ? In Christ, God can and will and shall, even in the midst of this death, give us complete deliverance. We shall show forth his praise. In Christ, God calls the things that are not as if they were, not in creation only, but in recreation. He raised us who were dead in sins. That we must know today. We need to see Jehovah's power and mercy and love revealed in Christ Jesus to us, to me. Then we shall show forth God's praise. To show forth God's praise is to say to God and to one another and to the world that God is good and worthy of all glory and honor. That's thanksgiving. There's no other thanksgiving possible. It's well that we sit down today and contemplate God's works in our whole life. We do well to do that. But then let's remember, our calling is not to categorize things in one of two piles. You mustn't look over your life and your possessions or lack thereof and health or afflictions and concentrate on that one pile and say, these things I might be thankful for. You see, to say that you have many reasons for thanksgiving, that's to exclude some things. And you know what that means? That means we're criticizing God. Thanksgiving's not a matter of what we like. Then we would certainly change many things. Then we would certainly remove all our afflictions. And we would change the things we don't like about our appearance. Maybe even change the particular state of affairs in which we find ourselves. Beloved, we have to praise God for all his dealings with us. When there's something that God has given us, a pathway in which he has led us, for which we cannot thank God, there's something wrong with our perspective. God is praiseworthy in all his dealings with us. To show forth his praise is to confess that. To confess that with thankful hearts. It's to rejoice that we who are so unworthy may stand in Christ Jesus and receive all God's goodness, even the forgiveness of all our sins and our sinfulness, even everlasting salvation, and may know that everything God does is working toward that final salvation. But you know, as well as I, that if we are to show forth that praise, we need grace. That's why we must begin as David with this prayer. Open thou my lips. True thankfulness to God requires grace. And grace, don't forget, requires that relationship to Christ that's only by faith. To go along with the world today and its so-called thanksgiving, that doesn't require grace. Doesn't require grace to sit down with our families and to eat plenty and visit, maybe watch a football game for a while this afternoon or play games or go hunting or whatever you're going to do in this day. It doesn't even require grace to think about the nice things that have happened in this past year. Then you too could contribute to those articles in the newspaper about how this event blessed your family and so on and so forth. Grace isn't necessary for such a perspective on this Thanksgiving Day, but to give thanks to God in all things, to show forth his praise in the midst of all the turmoil in our own lives and in the world in which we live, that requires grace. It requires grace to want God. Else we join the world and focus entirely on things. And let's be honest, people of God, we want things. We have a very worldly and a very self-centered perspective, don't we? And so long as we hold to that perspective, and to the extent that we hold to that perspective, we cannot and will not give thanks, nor show forth God's praise. And that the poet understood very well. God exposed David's life to us, not to shame David, but for our sake. He prayed this prayer because his lips had been closed for some time. He had not shown forth God's praise. Why not? Because he'd been walking in sin. And that sin was his sin involving Bathsheba. You read about in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. And perhaps we read that and we tend to say, what a wicked man to commit such a sin. Well, have you ever stopped to analyze David's sin? Oh, yes, it's quite apparent as to its manifestation. He went to bed with a woman who was another man's wife. He committed adultery, and to keep that woman for himself, he saw to it that her husband was killed. In today's terms, we would say he put out a contract on this man and had him murdered. And we say of David, what a wicked man. But what was behind his sin? He had been looking for things. He had his heart set not on the things of heaven, on the things of this earth. He was looking to gratify the desires of his sinful flesh. What a wicked man. But isn't that exactly what we do? When we desire things apart from God? When our thinking is focused upon self and upon our own satisfaction and upon the things of this earth, we commit the same principal sin which sealed David's lips and prevented him from showing forth God's praise. Our lips are sealed. And we might stand in the sanctuary and sing with the congregation. I have no doubt that David, too, stood and sang psalms during that time. David, you recall, was a talented musician, had a deep appreciation for music. I don't think he stopped singing entirely during those months of bondage to sin. But he came to find out that in his sin he could not praise God. He knew that his lips were sealed from offering true thankfulness to Jehovah, and ours are too. When we are caught in the bondage of self-seeking and worldliness, we need grace. We need grace to see God. We need grace to want God. We need grace to want things, not for things' sake, not for self, but for God's sake. We need grace on this Thanksgiving Day, as in all other days, because we lie in the midst of death. There has never been a Thanksgiving Day when there have not been trials or thoughts or afflictions difficult to deal with. There have been those who have sat in the hospital on Thanksgiving Day and watched their loved one die. There have been those who have spent Thanksgiving Day mourning over the empty spot at the table. Once occupied by one who was taken in death, or once occupied by one who is now so ensnared in the world and in sin that he lives the life of hell. And in this country and other countries, there are people of God every day facing the unknown. How shall we take them with us when we gather today to give thanks to the God who is praiseworthy? We need grace. How shall we look at this, the state of this nation in which we live, and give thanks without thinking of the rampant ungodliness, the immorality and murder and drunkenness and general wickedness of our country and its leadership? Even while God's scourge is upon us, how shall we give thanks in the face of these things? Not only that, beloved, we need grace to confess that we are unworthy even to give thanks. Our sin and our carnal mindedness make us incapable and unworthy of showing forth God's praise, because that showing forth God's praise is not merely to say that he is good, it is to show that goodness of God by the way we live, so that our whole lives are mirrors of God's goodness. We can't give thanks unless we receive grace. Grace to see the hand of Jehovah reaching down and taking us out of the bondage of this death, and therefore grace to see his hand in all things working for our good. Only then shall we truly rejoice in this day. And then, although we don't rejoice over our affliction and over our sufferings and over the trials that we face as such, we rejoice in the fact that we may understand it's the fatherly hand of God who is doing it and leading us through it. Then we see the praiseworthiness of our God. And although we can't understand much of what God does because we don't see the whole picture, we may be assured that all is well. By grace alone, as we stand in Christ Jesus, we get down on our knees and we thank God for all his goodness. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8, verse 28. We need such grace, beloved, today and every day. That's why we are given the instruction of David's example to begin with a humble prayer. We don't begin giving thanks to God by shouting hallelujahs. We begin with a broken and a contrite heart. It was after the Spirit wrought repentance in David that he lifted up this prayer to Jehovah, even seeking his grace. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. That means, O Lord, prepare me by thy grace to declare thy praises by opening my heart and enlightening my mind. Is there a desire in your heart to praise God, beloved? Oh, yes, if you belong to Jesus, that desire is there. Maybe hidden sometimes, might be covered up. As the Bible teaches us also by David's example, if we walk in impenitence, our lips are sealed. But that desire is always there, sustained by the Spirit who dwells in us. And when it's kindled by the gospel and by the preaching of that gospel, it flows from our lips. So we see with David, that desire was almost completely stunted by David's walk in sin. But it was still there. And when God sent Nathan the prophet to preach to David, he also applied that word powerfully by his Holy Spirit. The result being this prayer. Is this prayer yours today? Then two things happen. In the first place, with our eyes fixed upon the goodness of our God, we find that the list of goodnesses we remembered becomes far, far longer than what we had ever remembered. There are innumerable blessings God has given us. There are thousands of facets of God's praise that have reflected upon us, both as individuals and as families and as a church. Countless are the blessings of salvation that are ours in Christ Jesus. Countless are the spiritual blessings in our lives. The light of salvation shines within us and upon us. And God gives us to see that when we approach him in humility with this prayer for thankful lips. In the second place, then we also begin to see that even the things that seem evil are in fact, are in reality, necessary for us. Although we cannot understand the depth or the height of God's ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, Yet by faith we see, we experience that he is good. And receiving his grace, we lift up our hearts in thanksgiving and praise in every way in which he leads us. And then the words that we read in 2 Corinthians 4 also come alive. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, open thou our lips, cleanse us from all our iniquities, strip from us all that worldly mindedness and self-centeredness that plagues us, and fix our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. And our mouths shall show forth thy praise. That's our desire. Planted in our hearts by thee. Hear our request for Jesus' sake. Amen.